This is a program about going deeper. It's about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banky and I'll be your host today. And I've got with me here in our studio in Bend, Oregon, Bobby Hobby. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Hey everyone, good to see you.
Good, good. And we've also got some amazing guests that I don't know really well, but I'm super excited to get to know them more. I'm very excited about the topic today, but these are friends of yours. Who we got with us?
Cameron and Susie Yarai. They are amazing people. We met them through some connections that we have to Morningstar. And then as soon as we got to know them beyond their gifting, we got to see who they were. Oh my goodness. You guys need to know who Cameron and Susie are. Cameron is amazing. His story and how Jesus touched his life is amazing. So if you're listening on their network, you understand what I'm saying. If you're listening on our network and our platforms, you need to make yourself familiar with these guys.
Absolutely.
Their story, their anointing is amazing. And the wisdom that they carry beyond their gifts. You're going to find out today some great things that God's doing on the planet through these guys.
Yeah. So Cameron, Susie, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Where are you guys located in the world right now?
Go ahead.
We're in Moravia Falls, North Carolina.
All right.
Just 2 hours north of Charlotte.
Yeah, so that's a beautiful little town in North Carolina. How long have you guys been there?
Very little.
Susie been here since 1996. I moved here since we got married, 2004.
Yeah, about 25 years. Long time.
So 25 years. So you must actually love it there then.
Yeah, and right now it's the most beautiful, as far as I'm concerned, it's the most beautiful month of the year, May. It's solid. It's like forest, you know, like the foothills of the Brushies. So it's just forest, and we have some land, and we have a fruit orchard and a little garden, and you know, it's beautiful and super quiet.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So it seems like it's a small place, but it seems like some amazing people are there. So why Moravian Falls?
Oh, yeah. They come and go. A lot of people have moved in and moved away. I think they come through here for inspiration and revelation. A lot of it's a little bit of a portal for creative writing, I think. A lot of people have had encounters with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And it's a land that was dedicated to Jesus Christ by the Moravians, actually on the deed. And they had a 24-hour, 100-year prayer watch. So there's a lot of history in the land and a lot of solid, I guess you would call holy ground, maybe, I guess. So, yeah, but we don't always remember that because we're just doing life.
Yeah. Plus, you guys are there. So
remember that. Really cool.
It is. Yeah. And the friends that we have that live there, that is one thing that I think is common about that area, is that there is sort of an open heavens there, a bit of a portal. And that just has always interests me, because you go into lands, or maybe in our land that we live in, we're asking God to do those things. And so Moravian Falls represents something of a tangible outcome of that, and says, hey, you can create an atmosphere, sort of a 1 Samuel 19, Naoth Ramah, in the spirit that Samuel created, sort of that open heavens. And Moravian Falls is an icon of that. You can have that wherever you are. But not everybody goes after it like they did.
Yeah.
And so it's awesome.
Come on. I love that. True. Actually, it's a great jumping off point to the topic. So we titled this podcast, Imagine What God Would Do With the Blank Canvas. And I feel like that's an interesting way to kind of kick that off. That is a very interesting title from that. It's very sounds very cool. I definitely want to hear about it, but I'm not 100% sure what it means, right? So that gives us a lot of creative freedom, right? Kind of like the blank canvas that's in the title.
Yes.
So Bobby, why don't you kind of lay a foundation for us, like kind of set the stage, if you will, for this topic. And then I say we just jump right into it.
Okay. So imagine, and I want to use the word imagine because I want us to think on God's thoughts. I want us to, like in Isaiah, when he says, come now and let us reason together. Can you imagine that kind of invitation to reason with God, to think on his thoughts, and to be invited to the table to think on God's thoughts? So imagine if the globe was God's blank canvas, and it is. And God can do whatever he wants to do anytime he wants to do it. Like one of the famous sayings when Jesus showed up is, you've heard it said, but now I say to you, which means that God's about to do some new things. And it doesn't mean that what you've heard said in the past is wrong. Things don't have to be wrong for God to bring change. It just means God can bring change anytime. And so I want to hear not just what he said, but what he's saying. And if you can imagine, that word imagine really starts off in the Bible right away. Genesis 1:26. And the Bible says this. It's the Trinity sort of counseling together about what they would do with a blank canvas. And they say this. Come, it's kind of that, come now and let us reason. They said, let us make man in our image. And the word image there means with all that we could imagine.
Wow.
And so what does it look like for God to imagine? He's imagining right now. And we get to talk with those like Cameron and Susie who imagine with God. And that's where we're going today.
I love that. So Cameron and Susie, as we're kind of setting the stage for this, just at 100,000 foot view, what does the topic speak to you? How is it relevant to the people that are listening?
Yes.
I love what Bobby said. Oh gosh, you go.
You want me to go?
Yeah, you go. No, first.
We didn't get prepared for this. We went to this church in Georgia. It was a very small church. That day I talked about blasphemy. I said, just imagine, like Bobby said, imagine. Jesus came, a lot of things that he did, it looked like blasphemy to the religious leader of the time, because he went over the tradition and he started to hang out with the prostitute and the tax collector. Then in a Jewish culture, he would say, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And it looked like blasphemy. And the same people that they were waiting for this Messiah to come, this Messiah came and he looked very blasphemous. And my question is, and most, a lot of people, they missed him because it looked like blasphemy. My question is it possible that the Lord is coming in this season in the shapes and forms, not in the shapes and but in almost like a blasphemous forms, you know? This is my question. That was my question that day for people. That the people that we've been waiting for this Jesus to come in a new way, and if he comes in a different shapes and form, are we able to even recognize his voice and recognize his work here on earth? That's the thing that I would say we should ponder.
Yeah, that is so good. And I feel like what you're saying is so good for a time like this right now, because I feel that people kind of find themselves, at least who I talk to, and I know even from my own experience to some degree, they kind of find themselves in a place of anticipation, but they're not really sure what that what they should be anticipating, but they know they feel something is changing and shifting. And so it creates a little bit of anxiety, if you will. Like they're just, I can tell things are changing, but I don't know that I like that. Can you speak to that, Bobby? Like, what should people, as they're thinking about this, right? How should people approach that with anticipation?
Yeah. So a lot of times the thing that you fear is the really anointed side of who you are that God's about to release. But first, there's some tension inside of you. You don't know what God's about to do with that tension. You just know what you're feeling.
Right.
And you feel like, and you know that God's knocking on the door, but right now it's causing tension, maybe even anxiety. And the very thing that you're fearing is exactly how people are responding all around you to the next. Sometimes it's not just about you. You're a satellite. You're a cell phone tower, if you will. And you're picking up on what the people around you or the region around you is struggling with. But you can also understand, I'm called to birth it, though. And that's why there's tension inside of me. So it's like this paradox of there's a tension inside of me, but there's a tension inside the people around me. If you're feeling that tension inside of you, rather than retracting, that needs to be a sign to you right now that God wants to use you as a catalyst to bring that forth. And instead of running from the things that cause you tension, get the right people around you to work through that tension. Run to it. We've all heard the war horses run into battle, but that's super ethereal. What does that mean on a very practical level? And that is the very thing right now that's causing you the most angst. God's trying to work out for you an anointing that you're supposed to release on the planet, and you need to draw aside this burning bush moment and figure out why this thing's causing you tension. So instead of running from it, you can actually hook up with it and release it on the planet. Now, for people like Susie, all over the planet, there are a million reasons why people would say, gosh, that's for Susie. Look at how much she has just, she's in her sweet spot to bring creativity. Or, man, I bet she starts with a blank, she lives with a blank canvas. You know, those of us who know her would sort of say that about her. But no, that's not, don't get all utopia about this. That's a hard place to walk. It's super vulnerable. There's people like Susie, Don and Christine, Cameron, people all over the planet who, like Lewis and Clark, have cut trails for us and helped the rest of us to say, walking that tightrope is a safe place to walk. So, Susie, my question for you is, how do you deal with even the tension, the anxiety of being a catalyst to bring something new and allowing yourself to not fear that?
Yeah, because that's so funny. Camp, when you first asked the questions, my first thoughts were, when I was looking at a blank canvas, I had two thoughts immediately. I had worship, back to worship, what that means to me, and then the anxiety. That was the two thoughts I had. Like, just talking to friends all over the world, which I love to do recently, is the anxiety. And what you just said, I wish several of my friends were watching right now. But so that's been my journey right now with people who I'm talking to is how to help us out of anxiety and staying out of anxiety. For me, it's the word and scriptures. I'm just like, I have other problems, but fear and anxiety has never been big ones. But now that everything is happening and changing in the world, and we're getting a lot of scary surprises, I've been feeling it. And I've been kind of grateful in a way so that I could understand more about it, you know? Right. But I do love a blank canvas. I'm not really happy if I'm not pioneering something or pushing someone else forward. So I feel like what we... for the blank canvas too, I want God to show us all how to help each other stay in the peace that he offers. I think the reason I have more peace now is honestly, I want to say maturity. I don't want to say getting older, but getting older is part of it. Like really accepting the maturity and seeing like, how we've grown in the peace of God at this time of my life, at this age. I'm 61 now. I feel like I'm 20 and act like I'm 20. Sometimes that's not always good, but I feel like I have so much peace, and it has been the walking this out. And I really am hoping for our part and for all of us to really help each other stay in this grounded peace that passes understanding.
Yes.
And doing everything out of that position and that blank canvas right there, the blank canvas where peace can come in, and we can worship from that place, work from that place, raise our kids from that place. I mean, I'm seeing parents completely panicking over raising their kids. I didn't have children, but all my friends are raising all the kids that are going to be our future. So anyway, so I'm just excited about what God is doing now, staying definitely in the joy of the Lord, which means a lot more than just dancing and being happy, just the real joy, the peace and the joy and the intense positive.
I brought the blank canvas.
Positivity of the gospel. I mean, I have so much to say about that blank canvas, but that would be my main heart, is for us to stay above the anxiety and to bring back the true heart of worship. Not that I don't love the worship that's going on in the world, but almost back to the basics. I've been rereading all my teachings lately, starting with the Hebrew roots and everything. And so I'm just kind of getting a picture of, ooh, what we're in for. Wow. So excited.
I'd like to press into that a little bit more, because I really love the way you're talking about the blank canvas. And I think to some degree, some people are, you know, we're inferring a little bit that we should be a blank canvas unto the Lord's will, right? In the title.
I believe that.
Yeah. So some people are hearing this for sure. I can just tell. And they're thinking, oh, that sounds nice. How do I do that? Because I feel like there's so much going on in my mind. How do I become a blank canvas? Is that like clearing your mind out, New Age style? Like, what is that? So can we go into that a little bit? They want to hand that over to the Lord, but they're not necessarily sure what it means.
Right. And it can mean a lot of things. And also it can be scary. And you're talking about 80 to 90% of us are afraid of risk. It's scary. And the blank canvas means mystery. It means I don't know. Well, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for us, because we are trained to schedule, to work, to work towards our, you know, our retirement or whatever. It's like you have to balance out the practical part of our lives, which I have too. We schedule, we work 9 to 5 on all of our ministry, to be honest. And then, but we have to balance that out. We have to live in the mystery of the Holy Spirit and not know, or we're really not walking out the true gospel. Do you think the disciples knew what the heck was coming? I mean, no. Worship in life, all of our lives in our worship, I believe we should personally go after this message that you're giving. What does a blank canvas look like in my life right now? Of course, it's going to look completely different in everyone's life. How can I embrace the mystery and still raise my kids and feed my family? How can I balance this all out? And it's going to take a process for the rest of our lives. But I think if we can get in, we will be surprised at how much fun living out the gospel can be. We take ourselves too seriously. We get all crazy about it. We get religious.
Yeah.
You know, or we go too far on the other side of freedom, where no one can, there's no structure at all. I think there's such a balance, and I feel like we're heading to that balance. I feel like we've learned so much, especially in our couple of generations that we have been through in our lives and your lives. We've learned a lot. We've been so blessed. And I feel like we're just for such a great ride if we will embrace this blank canvas teaching that you're talking about. You should probably do a lot more podcasts about this particular subject.
Yeah, I think so.
So good. That is great. Cameron, I'm going to come to you in just a second. So sort of to throw something else into the water, so to speak, the God of mystery. as a prophetic people, I think it's easy. I remember the Lord came to me one time and was talking to me about being prophetic, and I could tell he was going somewhere in the conversation, and it was sort of a setup, you know, those kind of conversations you have with the Lord. And he was like, you know, you can't use your prophetic gifting to get out of mystery. For a billion years from now, Bobby, you will still be discovering the God of mystery.
That's right.
Come on.
And I could tell that I had some anxiety around hanging out with the God of mystery.
Everybody does.
Student of the word, and I could tell that even in my studiousness or even in my discovery, I'm sort of an architect or an archaeologist on things of the spirit. And even in my desire to discover, it was still so I could eradicate mystery, he was telling me. And it was not discovery to find more mystery. It was discover to eradicate mystery. And he was saying, you'll never be able to do that. You've got way too big of a devil and too small of a God. You will be discovering me for eternity.
That's right.
And it's kind of like Susie's song, every time you move, you know, for a billion years from now, we will be discovering you, God. And so help me, and especially those wired with the spirit of Elijah, who are forerunners, to be okay in mystery. Cameron, I want to go there with you. What is God saying about being okay, living in mystery? And what does that have to do with watching a blank canvas unfold before our very eyes right now?
Yeah. You know, there are so many things that goes through my mind. Today, I was working in my previous writing, and I came across this short message by, if I remember, I sent it to Susie. I said, normally, you know, you have difficulty, you have problem, and then you have answers or breakthrough. Normally, our breakthrough is a little bit bigger than our problem. You know, it has to be a little bit bigger to, you know, to overcome. And I said, if we always look at God, the answer to our problem, then he's going to be a little bit bigger than our problem. Just this much bigger than our problem. I said, he will fix a leak or two in our life, but he's not a plumber. You know, it's just like looking at God that way. I used to say, when I say all these things right now, I'm talking to myself too. I'm not standing here or sitting here as a teacher, but as a student, like you said. And I used to say, you know, I was a Shia Muslim. When I met Jesus, he shook my whole being, you know. For me, it wasn't gradual. It was in a moment that I realized who Jesus was. And I used to be so passionate, kind of almost judge the church too, why they are not in love with Jesus as much as I am with Jesus. The Lord had to deal with me too, you know. And I used to say, if I fall into ocean and I'm drowning, if someone came, it happened that they were there and they offered me their hand or their boat, they saved me for the rest of my life. If I become a friend, I'm not going to call them savior. They will say, yes, it happened that I saved you, but I'm more than a savior. Let me tell you who I am. This Jesus became a savior and he stood there. And then another name we give it to him is like the solver of my problem, which he will do. But then he's more than that.
Yeah.
And my heart is that, you know, okay, let me go back. I brought this canvas.
There's a blank canvas.
Wow.
Can you guys see it? Okay.
We can't see it. But we can envision it.
Oh, is that really? Wrong with the thing?
The camera's off right now.
It went off?
Yeah. Yes.
But that's okay. You sound amazing.
Thank you. Let me get the camera because I just wanted you guys to see this.
All right. You guys have to wait. Let's get this camera fixed and you guys can see the blank canvas.
So you can talk a minute, Bobby, while he's fixing it.
Okay. So this whole blank canvas concept. Now, again, think about before Genesis 1. Think about when God decides he's going to create anything. He's standing on nothing because there's nothing to stand on at that moment. I mean, that's the origin of who made us. The God who's okay standing on nothing. And because nothing's been created yet. So it's vulnerable to create, isn't it? It's vulnerable to get into any sort of forerunner type of spirit. And you find yourself living in a glass house. This thing could go, it could fail. There's all kinds of question marks for those who live that way. And we're all living that way to some degree. That's not just relegated to the creatives. We're all creating something. We have a bloodline. All of us have a bloodline that are waiting for us to make sense what God's done in the generations. They're waiting for God to use our lives to bring tangibility to the things they've succeeded in, to the things that they've suffered, all of those things. And God promises to do it. And so, but while we're watching that, can you imagine the people who were written about in the Bible? They didn't know they were living in a glass house.
Right.
They didn't know that they were being super vulnerable for our benefit, but it happened. And that's what's happening right now. There are people that are watching your and my vulnerability, and they're seeing whether God is really real, because we all have an insight, or we think we do, that if God is involved in our lives and if he gets involved in the picture, there is no vulnerability. There is no mystery, because mystery looks like sloppiness.
Right, right.
Right? And now all of a sudden, we avoid vulnerability and we try to look pro. Everybody's trying to look pro and dial.
That's right.
And what we end up trading pro for is the God of mystery.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting too on that is that sometimes if you're not careful, then the pendulum can swing the other way. And with this fake, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like a fake humbleness, you become sloppy. That's not what you're talking about. It's not sacrifice pro to become sloppy. Right. It's a true a humbleness and vulnerability. And I think that's the tough part. Yeah. You know?
Can you guys see us now?
Yes, we can. Gotcha. We can.
Yay.
Oh man, the moment I got the canvas, everything went berserk.
We can see it.
Share with us, Karen.
There's the canvas. Okay.
I'm going to share, if I remember what I was trying to say. You know, speaking of, I was talking about Jesus. I said, you know, Jesus, it happened that he became our savior, but like Bobby, you said, the mystery of this Jesus Christ, I think he wants to stretch our imagination that we looked at him as the savior, but he's more than a savior.
Yeah.
Right, Bobby?
Right.
You are a husband, but you are more than a husband, Bobby. Yeah. And you're a minister, but you're more than a minister. You are a business person. Perhaps God gave you that gift, but you are more than that. And if you only settle that, then you're not really friend of God. If you're really friend of God, he's going to push you out of your comfort zone to you who you truly are, right? If he loves the church, which he does, he's pushing us out of our comfort zone, you know, and just say, if this is a canvas, we're far from being blank canvas right now, because there is right here, it will say, I'm a businessman. And he will say, I'm a anointed worship leader, right? And here it will say, with pride, I'm a former Muslim. I mean, I had an encounter with Jesus, right? Then here he would say, I know the Bible ins and out. And here he would say, this is how you will evangelize. This will say, this is how you reach the world. And the Lord will come and he will start to erase all these things. But then we will lose our identity, because our identity is attached to these things, right? You're saying, what are you doing? Are you trying to destroy my life? Right? What are you doing right here? You know, there is a scripture in the Bible that said Enoch walked with God and was no more. Mm. Right? If I truly walk with God, this canvas, you look at it and you will say, there is nothing here. This is no more. You know? And that's where normally the Lord comes and starts to draw again or to write again. Not just to really get us again to attach identity here, but for a season is good. But then he comes and he starts to transform us into his image in a higher degree. And that is what's happening to earth, in my opinion.
Wow. Wow.
That is so good. So someone's profound. Watching this And just as Cameron was prophetically erasing that canvas, you felt like you're in a season where I don't even know who I am anymore. It's like the Lord erased my canvas. And you are running the risk of doing what the world does, and that's, I need to recreate myself. You're in your 50s or your 60s, and you're thinking, I need to recreate myself. And that is the worst thing you can do right now, is to begin to recreate yourself. God is erasing the canvas and maybe changing some things on the radar so that he can start with a blank canvas and to show you what he's about to create in this season. Remember, all of the things that you've learned in the last season, even the failures, you get to take with you into the coming season. But it's wrong to recreate yourself or think that you've got the responsibility to recreate. So what happens is we feel we want to be seen as completely healthy or amazing. So we begin to recreate. And the more we recreate, the less we co-create. And so watch out for trying to recreate yourself. God's bringing healing to your heart. And the word to you is, you can recreate if you want to, but I'd rather you co-create with me. And if you try to recreate yourself, you'll miss the opportunity to co-create with a living God.
Wow, that is, that's incredible.
So, Susie, what's God saying right now? What do you feel is going on? I mean, I feel like the Holy Spirit's just stirring us up. We're just getting started. What do you have?
I mean, that was so amazing what you said. Yeah, wow. That's so for me, like I see those little blank canvases, those empty frames behind you. So my mind, my personality goes to, oh, I just want to jump right through that blank. I want to jump in. So I'm good with that. And I want to see what God's going to do next. But that took a while. In the beginning, I was sort of half and half. I was doing part recreating myself, part letting God. So I think now I've learned to, I think I've gotten to where I can just let him do it all. It takes a while to let go. So it's such a great time to really learn about letting go right now so we can just take some leaps that we are actually being offered to take. For me, the world is not offering us pain and heartache and anxiety. God is offering us freedom and a blank canvas and to learn more about his ways, which are not always. That is always a big challenge. And so I feel like everything, Bobby keeps summing everything up so well. We have such an opportunity now. And I'm gonna take it. I'm just really wanting to learn so much more now, and I want to learn way more about the mind of Christ, the mystery, moving even deeper into that, and what that means with worship, as far as a lifestyle, and worship as far as music. And so I'm thinking about those things a lot these days, and of course our marriage and what we're doing in the Middle East and all of it. Mm-hmm. Just putting our lives, finding what our lives. Seeing who we are right now in our lives and seeing how we can carry over again to give God full permission. You know, and that's always scary for many people.
Yeah.
Just really moving past the fear.
Yeah. And you guys have stepped into that so well from doing what you're doing here in the United States and then, of course, around the world. And anytime you go out of your comfort zone, you know, I think we all are questioning, especially now, God, I don't want to do a ministry if it's limited to my own savvy or my own strength. If I'm not in the supernatural, I don't want to do it. If I can pull it off, it's not God. And so we're all coming to terms with that. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all doing better about not needing to be seen as looking amazing. And that whole fear of man thing is beginning to go away. And I feel like the mind renewed that Susie, that you had mentioned, what does it look like to literally think the thoughts of Christ? What does it like to have a mind that's truly renewed? I mean, people still struggle with, is it even possible to literally think the thoughts of Christ? Jesus said it this way: eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart or the mind of man, the things that God has prepared for them who love him. But it has been revealed to us by his Spirit. That is a huge contrast. As soon as we get Holy Spirit involved and we surrender and we become broken and all the things that are counterintuitive to looking amazing, and there's a level of brokenness, and all of a sudden the alabaster box is broken. We say, God, your plan for my life is better than my plan anyway. We step from the natural into the supernatural, and then we begin to imagine with God. Because if not, we're going to spin and try to recreate instead of co-create. That's what I was saying before. When you're afraid to step into the new, you'll just put lipstick on an old thing that God did.
Come on.
And if God's not doing that anymore, he did that once, but now he's over here. Yeah. You don't want to be where he was. You want to be where he is.
Yes.
And it's easy every one of us to do that. And so with this conference, Chris, this Imagine conference, that's really where we're headed. Is what does it look like to imagine with God? Is that scary to you to literally let him say whatever he wants to say? What does it look like to show up as a life who's a blank canvas and let him do whatever he wants to? Let him, he's still the creator. He didn't do it once and then forget how to do that. He's still the creator. So what does it look like? And then thirdly, what does it look like to have a mind renewed? Literally, to be able to think the thoughts of Christ, to have enough emotional quotient. You know, we always think about IQ, but what about EQ? The emotional quotient to be able to say, Lord, I literally trust you with my life. If you're the God who started that's with a blank canvas and you've got Genesis 1 and 2 on your resume, that's what it looks like for God to stand on nothing and create what? Surely you can do that in my life. I'm all in. And unless we get to that threshold and jump off that cliff, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I love what you're saying too. And I think what happens a lot of time without realizing that we do this, I think, okay, let me back up a second. He's not pushy. He doesn't beg and coerce, right? He's waiting for us to invite, right? So as we're thinking about this blank canvas, it fits so perfectly, right? Like, he's not going to push himself on us. He wants us to understand our place and his place and welcome him to use our canvas. So a lot of what you're saying, I feel like, is so good for right now, because this can't happen in our lives if we're stuck not moving forward, right? Like, if we're stuck only accepting what God has done in the past and not looking to what he's doing now. And I feel like one of the things that's so timely about this particular conference is we are literally setting the stage up in this conference to welcome what God is doing for right now.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. So the Imagine conference is just that. It's a place where we get to imagine with God. We get to surrender, go deep, and let him work all of the things into us and out of us that would stop us from walking out the blank canvas. And so we've got Donna Christine Potter with us. Bobby and Becky, myself and my wife will be here, and our team, and it's going to be right here in Bend, Oregon. But because we also believe in innovation and doing things on the planet that have never happened before, we've created with Chris and our team an amazing platform where you can have a digital experience to this conference wherever you are on the planet. And I don't mean a camera at the back of the room. I mean literally a digital experience. So Chris, would you speak to that? And then we're going to go back to Cameron and Susie for some closing remarks.
Yeah, absolutely. So just as you mentioned, we have from the beginning worked with Donna, Christine, Bobby, and Becky to create an experience that's incredible. But a lot of times what happens is all the focus is put on what's happening in the room, and then there's a camera put in the back of the room, and they connect that to Zoom, and then people connect to a Zoom call, and they're kind of forgotten about. That is not how God works. He is everywhere at one time, and now we're really at a place in history, unlike ever before, where we can actually create an experience if we do it on purpose from the beginning. That's also amazing for the online person. So it is a true blended experience, whether you're online, coming from someplace far away in another time time zone, or right here in Bend, Oregon, it's going to be amazing. Whenever you've got Don and Christine and Bobby and Becky all together, you know it's going to be absolutely incredible. This is the second one we've done. The first one last year, it was amazing. And because of COVID, we were forced to push this online, and it was an incredible experience. Literally, people's lives were changed, and this is going to be taking that and going up a level. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's only $99 if you're in person, and it's only $59 if you're digital access. And both online and in person will get forever access to the digital content. So it's an amazing, amazing opportunity for everyone.
Yeah, we're so excited to get this running again, May 28th and 29th. So Cameron and Susie, we're going to turn it back to you just for that component. Imagine blank canvas. What's God saying? Let's wrap this up with you guys.
I like what Bobby said about trying to look amazing. And I want to say, if you can imagine, you're going to look amazing if you stop trying to look amazing. Because if you live in that mystery and you jump through that blank canvas, jump through that frame that's behind Bobby and Chris, with God in your life, and get the anxiety down and dead and the peace up and the open arms for God's full permission and the Holy Spirit, you will amazing. Amen.
Amen.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Yeah. Cameron.
Yes, sir. So many things goes to my mind. You know, again, when you look at the canvas, you know, you said the blank canvas, hopefully the canvas is light, is not dark. You know, we have light here, and the more, the less stuff is here, the more it can really reflect the light. And today I was talking to the Lord about the darkness that sometimes, you know, an angry person walks into the room, or a depressed person walks into the room, and then the whole changes. The Lord reminded me of the scripture that when someone strikes you in the right, turn the other one as well. Just imagine someone comes and strikes our ego, strikes our core, strikes even our Christian belief. And what happens in that darkness comes, we're talking about the canvas is light. And I was telling the Lord, how do I overcome that darkness when it comes in? I feel in my alone time, in my prayer time, everything is wonderful. When I meditate about the world and how I'm going to love the world, everything is peaceful in my prayer time. But when I go to the world and when I face an angry person that hates a Christian or hates even God, I told the Lord, how do I do that? There is so much darkness. I felt he was telling me that you don't overcome the darkness with darkness. You overcome the darkness with light. You're the children of light in this new season, because the darkness in the world, if there is another darkness here, a stronger darkness comes, a stronger anger or rage comes and replaces that darkness. But as a believer, the Lord sees the darkness and he gets our light and replaces the darkness with the light. And he wants us, our light, to come out, you know, and that we will be really the children of light, you know. And to me, that's a symbolic that you kept saying, the white canvas, it's a light, you know. If you really look at it, it's like a fluorescent light. The light is coming out. And to me, the best way that this world could be transformed is for us to be the light of this world. And let me say that also and end it. I always wanted the Lord to work outside and in my life, what I call life. One day he said, Cameron, if you really look at inside you, I'm working in your life day and night, for I put life in you. Mm-hmm. And let's say, let's recognize the work of the Lord right now in this season, in this new season, the work of the Lord inside me, inside Susie, inside you guys. He works here and he transformed this into the light. Instead of always looking and seeing where he's working outside, we could look and see and say, I am the canvas. Work in this canvas, me, Cameron or Susie or Bobby, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what is happening. And to me, you look at the Bible, that was always his heart. Mm. Solomon said there is nothing new in there. But it was always his heart. You know, if you look at throughout the Bible, we are the light of the world and his work is here.
Wow, that's amazing. Those of you watching, you're sensing that new season for you. Maybe you're starting a brand new season of your life, a new ministry, a new business. Maybe you're putting out your first album or painting, and this grabs you. This is you. Maybe you're a grandparent for the first time. Maybe you're alone for the first time. Maybe something shifted in your life, and Holy Spirit's using this broadcast to speak to you. And we just want to encourage you today. This is where God specializes. God specializes in blank canvases. He specializes in creating something from nothing. That's who he is. And so sometimes the anxiety comes because we actually feel it's our responsibility. And the Lord would move you beyond personal responsibility in terms of creating for yourself and saying, let me take the brush. Let me create this season for your life. I know how to do this. I am the creator. And so many times we call God the creator and we love his creativity. But when he starts with the blank canvas and that blank canvas is us, that's scary. And you can feel what I'm saying. You could feel what we're all saying today. You could feel, more importantly, what the Holy Spirit's saying. He's got this. This is what he does. This is what he specializes in. And so you just stretch out your arms, stretch out like a canvas right now. Stretch your spirit out like a canvas and let your spirit come to the front of that canvas. And you say to the Lord right now, God, I trust you with this new season. I am your canvas. Make whatever you want to make, because I know what you make is amazing. And you're going to look right into the eyes of a creative God. You're going to see his smile and you're going to hear him say, I've been waiting for you to say those words. And watch what God's about to do. We prophesy brand new seasons into your life. Even for Cam and Susie, I just feel like this whole topic of blank canvas is going to explode even in your life. You've been forerunners to this already, and it's like the word for you is full circle. God's coming back around. All of those concepts and foundations and things that you already poured and sown into the body of Christ, they're going to be like children who rise up to call you blessed. And this new season for you guys is going to be incredible, because you were faithful to sow seeds as forerunners that now will come into full bloom for you guys. And the seeds that you've sown, they themselves, not just people, but the seeds that you've sown, will come back like children and rise up to call you blessed. And so we love what you're doing, but we're even more excited about what you're going to do. We thank God for what you've done, but we're excited for this next season in your life. And Chris, would you just close us out with anything more about Imagine that we need to know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just want to mention one more time, you can register. The link should be in the description. If it's not there, you can go to kingdomlearning.life and register. It is only $99 for the in-person ticket, which is a very small number of those. And it is only $59 for the digital ticket. So you definitely want to do that. Cameron and Susie, thank you so much for spending some time and pouring into the audience that's going to see this. We just really appreciate the wisdom and the creativity and what you guys really bring with your whole ministry and even just your time with us right now. So thank you for that. If you're watching this or listening to this and you're not subscribed, you definitely want to subscribe. And also, I would ask that you just think right now about two or three people that the Holy Spirit's bringing to your mind that need to also hear this same message. And just take a second, forward this to them so that they can also be blessed by this particular podcast. So we really appreciate it. And we just love what you guys are doing. Thank you so much. For all you guys that are listening, we will see you guys next time. Thank you.
We love you.
Love. Thank you guys. Blessings to you.
Okay.